Hello, everyone, and welcome to So What Happens Next? Small Screens. My name is Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this week, we are going into the not-too-distant future with The Expanse, Season 5. Okay, it's a little, it's wet and cold outside, but, you know, perfect day to record a podcast, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary of COVID-19.
Yeah.
Hazardous anomaly detected. Quarantine activated.
Our COVID-19 lockdown is coming up on its 1 year anniversary, and so, you know, in perhaps the not too distant future, if anyone's listening to our episodes, I hope you certainly are.
In the not too distant future, next Sunday AD.
You'll know that we're recording this and the last year's worth of content in a pandemic. On that note, this is our sideshow. So, Small Screens, we started because there's a lot of movies that we have seen and we still really liked and want to talk about, as well as some TV shows that were coming out, which, you know, we're living in the golden age of TV here, gang. What's not to talk about with some of this stuff coming out? So we started this to kind of be like, hey, this is what we're watching and like, this is what we think about it, as opposed to doing a whole episode thing on it. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, everything's on small screens. So it's kind of like we're watching it on TV. Everything's on TV, at least for now. But you can check out these episodes as well as our main feed of So What Happens Next on our website at swhn19.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for that small screens tag in the title. But as for this week, The Expanse. Amber, do you care to explain what exactly, for those who might not have seen The Expanse before and are only peripherally aware of it, what exactly is The Expanse about?
So, The Expanse is about a band of heroes that attempts to stop a cold war from occurring between Mars, the Belt, and Earth. It's very different from other space TV shows, mm-hmm. like Star Trek comes to mind. You get a lot of like technological advancements with the show, but it's different from where it's not like, oh, so far into the future that everybody is just coexisting really well together. Mm. And so you still have like Mars, where they're just starting up their colony. They're still terraforming the planet. And so they're not able to live on the surface of the planet. And they have kind of like a military thing going on where they basically control everything. Where Earth is kind of like where all the humans came from. And then you have people that live in the Belt who have never been on the surface of Earth or, you know, any place. So it's very interesting to see the interactions between different types of people and also how they work really well and they don't work really well together.
Yeah, it's definitely a really interesting take on like interplanetary colonization, right? Like yeah. You have the people who live in the asteroid belt are like mining the resources in the belt and all of that's kind of going back to Mars and Earth, which are two separate entities. Like, you know, you bring up Star Trek and like everybody is part of the Federation except yeah. for in Star Trek Enterprise. But like, you know, everything else is like, we're all part of the Federation. So planets are all friends or more or less, and we're all kind of sharing shit. Whereas in this, you kind of have a very much a more capitalistic view, I think, of sort of interplanetary commerce. Because you have like the belt producing stuff and they're kind of at this low tier.
Yeah, and they're taking basically taking advantage of the individuals from the belt,
mm-hmm.
Not giving them really anything in return, which
right.
is why like they live very poorly and things like that. Whereas like people who live on Earth, they're kind of like the old money.
Yeah.
And then you have people from Mars and it's like the new money.
Yeah, the new money with guns.
Because yeah,
Mars
new money with guns.
Because yeah. Mars is very, you know, of course, because it's Mars, they're like super militaristic. Like they're very like borderline imperialism, kind of like everybody goes into the military, everybody trains, you know, everybody is working. And some of our characters either were in the military or are, or at this point, I don't think any of our main characters are in the military anymore, but you have like a very space marine thing going on almost literally here. Yeah. Whereas Earth is like, we have a military, we don't have as big a military, but it's a better military. And, you know, we don't really give a shit. But then you also see kind of the tough parts on Earth, right? Like, in the later seasons, you see, like, oh, the rich people live on the moon. And then you have, like, other rich people on Earth. But a lot of people are, like, scrounging by on the planet, too. Yeah. It's kind of like, I think they do an episode in one, like, season three or something where, like, the Martian character goes to Earth. And she sees all these people that are basically, like, they don't even have money. Like, they don't even use money. They use, like, drugs as payment back and forth for things. Mm-hmm. It was really strange. They're like, oh, if you give me like this painkiller, I can give you like this, you know, antihistamine or something like that. And like that's how they, that's mm-hmm. their financial whatever. And I'm like, oh geez,
there's a lot of corruption,
huge within the system for sure. And underlying all of this political intrigue is motherfucking aliens.
Yes, with the proto-molecule.
Yeah, the proto-molecule, which starts out as like this kind of freaky, almost infestation thing that just like takes over.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, if any of you have heard of Dead Space, it's basically like that, where they have their artifact.
Right.
And it, you know... animates like dead bodies, and just you get these really grotesque like monsters and things like that. Not necessarily like the same thing in this, but yet you do have like this alien species or whatever,
right? And its whole goal is to like infect almost and then take over whatever it's infecting, which isn't limited to like organic life. Like it takes over an entire asteroid at some point, and then it, you know, I think they create like weird hybrid monster men out of it. And at some point it goes to Venus and does something on Venus. But by this point in the series, something happened to where this proto-molecule has opened like a Stargate system near, you know, the asteroid belt.
So that door to heaven is... Stargate.
And the ships can fly through it and go to other gates where there are other planets, and they're finding that this proto-molecule thing was designed by, is the last remnant of some species that appears to be long extinct, that was fighting something else that appears to long be extinct, and humanity is just kind of like getting to the remains of that on these other worlds. And we left, prior to season 5, we left season 4 where they helped some colonists colonize a planet, you know, and dealing with all the tribulations of that, right? Like, they all had, like, bacteria in their eyes, and they had to figure out how to cure that.
Yeah.
They were in, like, this ancient superstructure. Meanwhile, our main character, James Holden, is, like, seeing ghosts from previous episodes who are the proto-molecule, like, infecting his brain or some shit. It's really surreal, really fast. Highly suggest this show. But for those of you that are caught up, spoilers for season 5. Let's talk season 5. So this, I think, was an interesting like season where we walk into it. We just got off a whole other system of planets somewhere far away through these ring gates. We've kind of established like Belter control over this ring system. They're kind of dealing with the commerce in and out. So the belt's on the up and up. Mars and Earth have cooled off each other. In fact, to the point where Mars is like, the military's not that big a deal anymore. We don't really need it. So they're kind of like divesting from their military. And this season, I gotta say, like, straight out the gate, I was a little surprised at the whole thing, because it felt really dialed back from the like monumental space. What were you thinking, like, when the season started up? What were you thinking, like, going into it, especially based on season 4?
It seemed like everything was, like you said, dialing down, especially having a new, not ambassador, but is it ambassador of Earth?
Oh, you're talking about the like president. They don't call it a president. They call it something else.
Yeah, like new minister or something like that. Like yeah, that. But basically the character that we've been following, who used to be so-called president of Earth, she is no longer in that position anymore. Right. And she actually has like no power in her current position. And so she's, you know, kind of just there. And everybody else is kind of the same. Like they're just there. Like, they're doing their own separate things. And that's what kind of, like, had taken me aback, because in previous seasons, they were all together.
And there was, like, a ramp up, too. Yeah. I feel like seasons 1 through 4 were this, like, steady dialing up of, like, you're watching the protomolecule get more complex. You're watching them deal with it. You're watching the, you know, evil subterfuge between Mars and Earth going on, along with this, like, third party, you know, kind of corporation sort of researching it to sell it to both Mars and Earth and make a huge profit. While at the same time, you're dealing with, like, Belter terrorists wanting to, like, free the Belt from, you know, whatever tyranny of Mars and Earth. But yeah, totally. When this one, you have the original, like, Prime Minister person of Earth, Christian Avasarala, who is played by Shohreh Agadashlu. She's in a few things, and her voice is pretty recognizable. And I loved her. I love her in this show. Like, she's just hilarious because she's just swearing like a sailor, like, left and right. And it's just so funny. It's like this older woman, like, dressed, like, to the fucking nines, like, all the time, dressed up in very, like, elegant clothes for the most part. There's a few where she's, like, on the run where she's dressing like jumpsuits and shit, but, you know, and she's just like, fuck this, fuck that, fucking you, fuck that. And I'm just like, oh, this is great.
Where are you going with this?
Wherever I goddamn like.
It makes it more interesting to watch the political stuff with, like, the candid stuff. But yeah, she's, like, kind of on the periphery now. Like, she's not head big boss lady anymore. She got beat out by somebody who ran entirely on, like, we need to populate we need to colonize the planets on the other side of the rings, which, you know, won people over. They're shipping them out to colonize the rings. And it kind of seems like everything's more or less okay, except for a little bit of shit in the belt, right? Like, you have some main Belter characters. There's, like, the belt was weird. The belt is, like, it's already divided up among factions within the belt. So you have sort of our main following faction, like, one of them gets killed by who ultimately is our big bad in this season. And it's just, like, it's so weird to, like, watch it get really dialed back from, like, we have aliens and all this other crazy shit, Stargate's appearing out of nowhere. And it's just like, oh yeah, I am a Belter terrorist and I'm going to unify the belt and I'm going to, you know, spit on Earth with rocks. Like, it was really wild. They strategically launch stealth-coded asteroids at Earth, and Earth's defense system can't stop it, and so it just, like, fucks Earth hard. Like, just, it's like dropping nukes on the planet. Like, it was nuts. And of course, at this point, all of our main characters on the crew of the Rocinante, the ship that they all fly around in, are all doing their own shit, and at least one of them's on Earth dealing with all this while it happens. It's very, like, big in a small world, as opposed to just, like, ever ramping escalation. And I kind of have to say, like, I liked it. What were your thoughts on, like, the whole let's take a step back, you know, by the end of this, or, you know, as we're watching it, like, how did you feel about this whole, well, let's dial it back a little bit from the previous let's colonize the other planets with alien ancient wonders?
Dude, this is a Wendy's restaurant.
I think it was actually really nice because it's not like they were separate, but yet they were kind of all picking out, like, pieces of the puzzle, right? Or trying to solve the puzzle. So you have, like, one group that's, like, trying to figure out what's going on with, like, the Mars military.
Right.
Like, which seems to be, like, a coup or something going on. But basically they are selling weapons to the Belters and specifically to the guy who's a terrorist,
Marco Inaros, yeah. I think is his name.
Yeah. And so they're trying to figure that out, and they uncover that, and then you just have other groups that are just, you know, either for personal development, beating up with other people, and you get a better understanding of, like, who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with Naomi, this was, like, Naomi's season.
So Naomi Nagata is our, you know, another main character, part of the crew of the Rocinante. She's, like, the engineer. She's, like, the Scotty of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
She is played by Dominique Tipper. She's also in the show. She is also the love interest for James Holden, which, I guess, in the way this show, I wouldn't even call it, like, a love interest. That makes her sound like that's all she is in the show.
Yeah.
It's not. She is, like, in a relationship with James Holden, and she finds out that from her past with, like, the terrorist organization, the OPA, that her former, like, lover, I guess, who is Marco Inaros, the head of this, the big bad of the season, kept her son or something like that. Like, her son, she had a son with him, and she finds out where he is, and she wants to, like, save him from being a part of this terrorist organization. But he is, like, indoctrinated as hell into this. Like, he is an adult. Like, don't get me wrong, this guy is, like, a full-on adult. Like, he's not a little kid anymore. And that threw me for a loop, because she does not look, neither her or the guy who plays Inaros look old enough for this guy to be, like, 20. And it threw me the fuck out. She's like, I found my son. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a child. Why is that a man?
Why are you the way that you are?
But yeah, and so she's off trying to find him, which she does, and of course gets kidnapped by Marco. And I liked the Marco scenes, since you mentioned it.
Like, with the different factions within the belt, I could imagine, like, it's really difficult to come together, mm-hmm. like, you know, as an entire, like, like, not like Mars or Earth, where it's just like, we are the people of Earth, or we are the people of Mars. Like, it seems a lot more difficult for them to do that, especially in situations like this, where we're being treated like garbage. Like, that is a legitimate, you know, reason or whatever. And so I think with him coming out as a leader, like, they have somebody to look up to, and obviously he's a lot more extreme. But, you know, with the way people are being treated, it's like, you know, like he was saying, like, people are going to look up to me, and they are going to get behind me on this, like, agenda.
And I mean, I think a lot of it, like, I look at the belt kind of like the OG American colonies, like, that fought against the British. Like, I kind of look at it as like, okay, you have like, let's say you have like 13 factions, like 13 states, and all of them are kind of just doing what's best for them. And it just so happened to align with, let's fight the British, more or less. And then afterwards, like, for you American history buffs out there, like, afterwards, everything was kind of shitty. Like, the American government under its original, like, Articles of Confederation couldn't function as a federal government. Like, the states all had their own money, and they all had laws and, like, you know, trade laws and stuff like that, border stuff. And I feel like that's what the belt is like. Like, it's very, well, why should the Inaros faction get to decide what my faction does? You know, like, well, I want to decide what my faction does, or I want what's best for me. But I think what Inaros does in this show that they really show well is he, like, spits on Earth. Not once, not, like, twice. I think he does. I think they at least drop, like, three asteroids.
Yeah.
Which, one of which kills the, like, president of Earth woman.
Mm-hmm.
Not Eva Cerala, but her, the person who beat her. And it kind of leads to this more intriguing, like, shadow government thing going on, where, like, her and her military buddy are, like, kind of running. But they're, like, pulling the strings by the end, because the guy, the only survivor from the cabinet, if you've seen Shin Godzilla, it's exactly the same, is, like, the agricultural advisor or something like that.
Transportation.
Transportation, thank you. Is the transportation guy, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's now president of Earth, and he's just like, I didn't want to do this. Like, I don't know what to do here. And it's just like, help me, please. And they do. I think the scene when he does his little, you know, let's kick their ass speech, is very like, it caught me. I don't know how you felt about it, but it caught me off guard, because I'm like, whoa, this guy was like a squirrely, like, scaredy cat guy, and now he's giving this very charismatic, like, let's, you know, they spat on us, so let's fucking blow them to hell speech. And then he leaves the room, and he kind of looks at the military general and Eva Cerala, and is just like, did I do good? And they're like, we'll see. And I'm just like, whoa, like, that was really cool. Like, you basically had this guy speak for you to be like, let's go fuck him up. And everyone's like, yeah, this guy's a leader. Mm-hmm. But in reality, he's your fucking Department of Transportation man. Like, he doesn't know.
But even then, he gets a little carried away with it, right? Because he's like, let's just, like, full on attack them. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy to see how she changed from previous seasons, because she was really ruthless. And she wouldn't have, like, she would have, like, done a full scale attack, like, previously on Mars or on the Belters, if it meant, like, you know, saving Earth. But in this case, she was like, no, we have to think about, like, the innocent people, like, the children, stuff like that. And this is what Marco wants. He wants us to attack them so that he, like, has a reason, or people have a reason to get behind him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's, like, a full, like, 180 for this person.
Especially considering that her husband dies. Like, her, this job in the previous season makes her essentially lose her husband. He sort of leaves her. They're kind of like separated.
Yeah.
She gets asked to go to Mars for like a bullshit political job by her former opponent. And she's like, fine, maybe I could do some good there. Because she's got our Martian character, who's a former Martian Marine, Bobby, played by Frankie Adams, who she's great. I like her scenes too. Yeah. Like, I like when she's doing stuff because it's very like, I don't know, there's just something cool about seeing the Mars stuff go on. And yeah, just like her perspective, I think, is really interesting.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
But she was like a Martian Marine, and then she got like blacklisted. And now she kind of works with Ava Sorala on the down low to like figure out what the fuck's going on with this like weird Martian black market military stuff. And so they're running that on the moon, but you know, her husband kind of is on Earth and is like, eh, we need some time off. Like, why don't you just go work? The asteroids happen, he dies. Like, he dies in the explosions and shit. And it's just like,
yeah, because he was at Columbia or something like
that.
Yeah, right?
he teached at Columbia. And I think one of them like landed near on fucking New York. So yeah, it just like obliterated everything. And I just kind of, you bring up a good point. She changed a lot. Because I feel like if that happened in season one, she would be like, we are going to burn the belt for everything. Like, we are just going to scorch the belt. And I think she kind of had that come to Jesus moment because she was on the run from Earth and everything for a minute. And I think season three or something. And I think she got her perspective kind of changed because it's like, oh, let me see everybody else. And I think that's why it's cool with, like, the crew of the Rocinantes. You have, like, this kind of cosmopolitan ship, so to speak, right? Like, you have Naomi, who's from the Belt. You have Amos and James, who are from Earth. You have Alex, who's from Mars. He's, like, a former Martian soldier turned just pilot for the Belt. And they're all kind of like this ragtag group of heroes that wound up together.
Here's the guy here just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn hero, sir.
Ain't we just?
And I think it's kind of cool because they sort of represent everybody, but at the same time, they represent everybody, so everybody hates them. So, like, the Belters look at it and they're, oh, you just have, like, an Earther captain, so therefore you're all for Earth. And the Earthers are like, oh, you're consorting with Martians and Belters, so you're not ours. And the Martians are like, you stole our fucking shit. Like, fuck you. Like, we don't care if it was legitimate. Fuck you. And it's just really cool to see, like, the dynamic that this show has. Because this, especially this season, was such a character dive. Especially, like we mentioned earlier, into Naomi. Which I think is one of the few times I was, like, totally cool with that. Like, usually I get a little, because you spend all your time on one character for, like, an entire season. It feels like kind of shortchanging other people. And, like, Amos got it. We got a little bit of Amos's, like, backstory. We barely did anything with Holden, but to be honest, we spent a lot of time
on him. I mean, last season, that was all Holden.
It was, like, the Holden season last time. And we got a little bit of Alex last season and this season. And let's talk about Alex for a minute, because that is some fucking, like, sad. It's just some sad shit right there. So, like I said before, spoilers for season 5. Alex dies.
No! God, please, no! 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 No!
And it is like, not even like a blaze of glory. I'll hold them back. You guys run for it. Naomi gets desperate. They leave her stranded on a ship that's rigged to blow. And so she just jumps out an airlock in a suit with no oxygen. And she's just like,
or little oxygen.
Very little. Whatever's in the suit is all she's got.
Yeah.
She's dying and she like accepts that she's going to die.
Yeah.
I actually saw online Dominique Tipper posted like what the script said, or maybe it was an excerpt from the book or both, but it was like really interesting. Like it's what she's supposed to be thinking and feeling. And it was like a really interesting look of like, she's more or less like, as she's dying, like she's like, I'm okay with this. Like, I wish I could have said all these things to Holden. I wish I could have done all this stuff. I wish I could have, like, saved my son, because the son double crosses her, but betrays her, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, I'm hanging with dad. Fuck you. And I'm just like, oh. So annoying.
Yeah, it's so like Darth Vader.
Very. Yeah. It's very like if, yeah, it's like if, yeah, Darth Vader.
Yeah, like he just goes to the dark side and we're just like, well, but maybe potentially he'll have like a comeback or something, or come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, because he does.
It's not now.
He is a little like, did I make the right choice at the end? If I recall.
Yeah, and he sees how horrible his father is.
Right.
Like, he knows that his father is very self-centered, and he even says to him, he's like, it's about me and right. it'll always be about me. But then like, kind of it's just like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said that. So right. he's like, oh, but you'll take the mantle, son.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fucking like, wait a minute, what? It's like, it's all about me.
I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. I shouldn't have said that.
Eventually it'll be about you, but right now, and for even when it's about you, it's still gonna be a little bit about me. And it's like, ugh. But yeah, as she's like floating through space, it's like this very emotional, like, I'm yeah. going to die. In the meantime, like, Alex and Bobby are on this. I love that they kept this fucking ship from season one. Like, there's like this sports car spaceship that a rich person had that they kind of find, and it's all integral to the plot, but they just fucking keep it. Like, I love how they're just like, it's like if you found a really nice car and then all this like crazy Cold War shit happened and you still kind of have this really nice car and you're just like, why would I get rid of this Ferrari? Like, it's just gonna get, what, torn up or something? Like, I'm gonna keep the Ferrari too. And they do. And like, they come flying in on this super fast like sports ship. But the problem is, this show is very realistic, I think, which is really cool. Like Amber mentioned at the beginning, it's kind of like the technology is advanced, but it's not like Star Trek might as well be magic bullshit. It's like yeah. reasonable. And so things like G-Force are really a problem, and they're like booking it.
Yeah.
To and I save mean,
they
Naomi.
Even, yeah. They even did like an episode on that where the guy who created mm-hmm. the G4, he was like about to die. Like yeah. he was just like not going to make it because it was just too much for him.
It was pretty cool. That episode was actually really cool because it's like this guy who invented what's called like, I think the Epstein drive or the mm-hmm. Elstein drive or something like that. He like was tinkering with how to make a ship, how to make an engine have enough, would be like efficient enough to not burn a ton of fuel, but also move really fucking fast. And he like goes to test it and the thing just like rockets away and he's like, fuck. And the next thing you know, he's like near Jupiter, just like stuck at like this, I'm yeah. stuck to my chair. And he's like, okay, well, eventually the fuel is going to come out. It'll run out. And I'll just like, and he looks at the fuel gauge and he's like, oh fuck. And it's only down by like from Earth to Jupiter or something like that. It was like down to 97%. And he's just like, fuck, like I'm dead. I gotta, he like sends the schematics to his wife or something. Like I figured it out, but I am dead. Like I'm not coming back from this. But yeah, so they're booking it. And they do save her, but they have to do some crazy, you know, spins and moves and stuff like that. And as a result, they save her, but it's just, they mention, like Bobby says, like, you got to be careful, or like, we've already taken a bunch of this medication to deal with the G-Force. You do it any harder, we're going to stroke out, and we're just going to have a stroke and die. And that's what happens, is he's like, you know, get on board, we'll see you when you get home, and he just kind of, like, leans back, and then you just hear flatline, and he's just staring, like, he just dropped dead, yeah. basically. And I was like, it took me a minute to go, like, hold on a minute. Is he dead?
Yeah.
And then sure enough, in the next scene, they're like, yeah, like, he's gone. And I'm just like, what the fuck are we... I would love... If you guys know what the heck the story is there, like, did this actor want to leave? Does that happen in the books that the arts are based on? I have no clue, but it was just like... It felt so unceremonious. Like, yeah. he's just like, I'm done. But yeah, I still think it was a good way to go as far as, like, a time to go, sure, but it makes me kind of worried about the next season. In that regard, like, what are we doing with him?
Well, we have
who's flying the ship?
It's gonna be Gal or whatever her name is.
Oh, that's right. They pick up the whole time they're doing that, they pick up the augmented girl mm-hmm. off Earth. Yeah, she's probably gonna fly it then, won't she?
Yeah, I feel like funny. They kind of replaced him with her.
Yeah,
but I don't really like her character.
She's vague.
Yeah,
she's the sister of like. The person that a detective was trying to find in the first season who ended up getting subjected to all the proto-molecule stuff. But it's like, yeah. I completely forgot what the hell happened to her. Like, she gets arrested or something? But
I think she gets arrested along with her father, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't ever... And then she comes back this season. I'm like, whoa, like, why?
And she's got some, like, crazy feral cybernetic augment or something. Where if she turns it on, she basically would tear you limb from limb in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then... we're done. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's a really lame superpower to have. Because she's like incapacitated when it's over. And I'm like, so what, you just like kill a bunch of people and sit in it? No wonder you got caught. Like, what?
You suck, you jackass.
But yeah, the season though ended. So Amber, the season ended where we see that Mars and the Belt basically kind of wins. Marco Annaro sort of wins, and he's like, okay, he books it to the ring, fights off the Earth ships, and like claims the ring gate and everything inside.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly he's got to deal with the Martian military, and the Martians come in to the gate, and he gives them one of the systems or something like that. He gives them some ring or something. And this like Martian military leader is like talking to this, his like subordinate. We kind of meet them earlier, and they're obviously shady as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying like, we are going to become like a hardcore like fascist empire on this side. Like, you fuck up, you're dead. Like, mm-hmm. all I think of is like The Simpsons. That's a paddling. Like,
staring at mice handles. That's a paddling. Paddling the school canoe. Oh, you better believe that's a paddling.
That's it. Like, that. They're like, he's like, I'm going to kill anybody that fucking disobeys. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no other punishment. It's do or die. And they go, I believe it was their ship, right? Like, they go to proceed through the gate.
Yeah.
And something happens on the gate. We don't know what.
Yeah, it becomes like red or something, right? Right. Yeah.
And they just hit it and blow up.
Yeah.
And it's boom, the ship's gone. And it just ends. Like, the season's done. Like, it ends there. What did you think of that?
Well, I didn't really think of it as an explosion. I thought they were going through, like, it almost reminded me of, like, warp speed. Like, when everything, like, shifts mm-hmm. and, like, the colors get really bright. And then they're just, like, phew, like that. Because he said, where we're going, we don't need...
roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
No, not like that, but something to the effect like, you won't be needing this, or, you know, like when he takes the bracelet from her or something, like, you won't be needing these, you know, sentiments.
Yeah, because he's saying it's do or die, like, we are going to keep a strict order, and it's like,
but I didn't think they died, did they? Like, did they die on impact? But I feel like they didn't. Like, they knew exactly where they were going, and it was implied they were going where the proto molecule, where there are more proto molecules.
So hold on, we're gonna watch this real quick.
You know, that looks actually more like a wormhole.
Yeah.
Into a different dimension, which is like, that would be really crazy. But because the ring looks way different, it's like a dark ring. I don't even know. But I'm just like, that ring looks different from the other rings. So I'm like, if that's like a portal to the homeworld of the aliens, that would be really cool.
So to recap, I was wrong. It doesn't explode. And it doesn't quite go to like warp either. What ended up happening is like, the minute they make contact with the ring, everything freezes.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's frozen. And then it looks like this entity is just darting back and forth, like disintegrating everything, and mm-hmm. everything's like becoming particleized and kind of falling apart. And then we zoom back outside the ship, and we're kind of watching the ship just sort of what appears to be just disappearing as it's crossing the threshold. So like, as it's going, you don't see it on the other side like you usually do, because it's like a clear window. You're just seeing it kind of like burn away as it goes into the gate, and then it ends. I'm kind of wondering if it's not the protomolecule thing, though. What if it's that other funky entity that kills the protomolecule?
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's just like eating everything up, which we have not. So in season 4, there's this other kind of enemy of the protomolecule. And one of the characters, which unfortunately I don't think we even meet her again. Like, we talked to her about her once as like an off the cuff thing, where she makes contact with this other entity via touching it or some shit. And, like, she experienced all this stuff, and it's like, okay, more about that in season 5. Never mind, we're not going to learn more about that in season 5. We're going to learn about it later. And I'm just like, wait a minute, what? That was really interesting. And I'm wondering if that's maybe where season 6 is going to go, right? Like, we're going to learn about that other thing, and maybe it took over that gate. Or maybe we're going to that thing's homeworld. That's on the other side of that gate. Maybe that's the gate that started it. Like, you know, they go through and then encountered it on the other side. And because of that, they came back and attacked the protomolecule. Like, we want your cool shit. You know, your gates and your ships and all the other stuff. Because, that's what it was, wasn't it? It was that they have a protomolecule ship.
Yeah.
on the other side of the gate or something. Like, mm-hmm. The Martians wanted that because there's a ship made of yep. the proto molecule.
Yeah, and they do a big, like, in the end credits, it's just, you can see it, but kind of...
It's like in the clouds. Yeah,
but it looks crazy.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Like...
No, and so that's kind of where let's talk about that now. So overall, what did you think of season 5? And then also, like, going into season 6, are you excited? Are you not? Are you surprised? Are you like, yeah, this is where it should go? Like, what are your thoughts kind of coming out of and going into the next bit of The Expanse here?
Yeah, I really like this last season, and I feel like we're just coming full circle again because we started out with, like, the aliens and the proto-molecule, and then we diverted from that to basically go into more of the politics of everything, and then we're coming back to the aliens.
Right.
And I think that's where, yeah, everything's just gonna, like, come together. And honestly, like, everybody might have to fight, like, alongside each other because you have this other entity that's against, like, the proto molecule mm-hmm. and probably would be against humans. Like, right. I'm just gonna go out there and so, but yeah, it'd be like, I hope it goes in that direction because I definitely want to, like, learn more about, like, it's kind of like with the Alien series. Where did they come from?
Right.
Okay, like, we had that, like, with Prometheus, like, yeah. This is where they came from and stuff like that. Because, yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me with the ship and everything. They're like, yes, we want this, like, technology or whatever, but don't necessarily understand it. So, because who could have anticipated what would have been beyond the ring? Or, I mean, they knew that there was some type of ship on the other side, right? But I don't think they knew that shit was going to happen.
No,
where
they clearly
it's like,
weren't
yeah.
That,
so I'm, like, kind of wondering if they, like, actually died mm-hmm. or if, like, something happened to them. Like, I almost think of Event Horizon.
Right.
Because that shit, it gets, like, fucking crazy in that movie because they didn't anticipate any of that happening and they all go in fucking insane.
Right. They go to, like, literally go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And come back.
Which that's what it looked like, to be honest. Like, yeah, everything turning red and black and just, yeah.
Go to hell and take your friends with you!
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if, so... To describe, if you haven't seen it, to describe the way the gate system is sort of arranged is like it's like a bubble and there's a bunch of little holes in it. Mm-hmm. And each of those holes goes to another solar system. I'm wondering if this is maybe like the one you shouldn't have gone through.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's the one where there's this ship here and it needs to stay there and you don't go through there unless you're like specifically authorized.
Yeah.
Right? Like the gate scans you and then lets you in or some shit like that. I'm also, now that I'm thinking about it, kind of getting like a creation-destruction dichotomy vibe here. Like, the proto-molecule clearly is like creation.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't destroy anything. It repurposes, but it just builds on and it even enhances, right? Like, I think they basically fly. The proto-molecule like flies an asteroid to Venus or some shit. And as opposed to it just being a rock. Like, it finds a way to propel itself. Whereas this other thing like literally looks like a black hole. And it, if it's what we saw here, it's a black streak of nothing just crisscrossing and eating everything up inside the Martian ship. And I'm kind of wondering, like, is that what we're dealing with here? Is, like, sort of a destiny light and darkness type deal where you have one thing that's, like, bringing life and creating shit and this other thing that's, like, the epitome of entropy just destroying everything? I hope it's a little bit more complex than that because that doesn't seem like a great driving force. But I totally agree with you. I think we're gonna reach a point where it's gonna be like humanity versus the aliens in some capacity.
Yeah, because really I don't believe that. They're all dead.
No, totally.
I mean, from what we saw on the battle scene, like with Mars,
mm-hmm.
like there definitely was something there that was not quite human, and we kind of like just glossed over it. Like we didn't really come back to it because they couldn't verify like it actually was like an alien. They were just like, oh, it's just like the cameras or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, no, there definitely was something there. So I wouldn't be surprised if like one of them survived or something like that.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. Like those augmented human hybrid things survived either. Like they say they blow them all up, but they also said, oh, we got rid of all the proto molecule. And then they're like, oh fuck, Inaros has some proto molecule now. And I'm just like, well, alrighty then. Like, this isn't going away. As far as like my thoughts on this season go, I agree with you. Like, I kind of liked how we took a step back. Like, a lot of shows really don't do this, you know. They do the ever escalating, you know, you can call it like power creep when it comes to anime, right? Like, think of like Dragon Ball Z, where it's like they just have to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until it's like kind of absurd, right?
He has risen above and become a legend. The legend that you fear. He has become a Super Saiyan!
I know this isn't an anime or cartoon, but even other shows do this. Like, you have to increase the odds, otherwise it's the same story over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I think this took a nice turn of like, okay, we achieved kind of like more or less peace at the end of season 4, but it's really fragile, and let's watch it break apart. And it's not going to be like before, where it's just, you know, the whole show started where it's like Mars and Earth mm-hmm. are like at a pissing contest in a Cold War, and the belt is kind of just caught in the middle. This is now like Mars isn't really cool with Earth, and they kind of don't care, or even are kind of in league with the Belters. The Belters are now a force to be reckoned with, because as soon as they're done uniting, they can obviously fuck up Earth. Earth is over here like, fuck, do we go, you know, to the... Because I feel like the idea is like, if Earth became like Mars militaristically, they would just like fucking wipe the floor with everybody. However, a Martian-Belter alliance is a whole level of resources that Earth doesn't get. Like, it's really cool to like think about the strategy behind everything. And I think this was also a nice break from like the, oh my God, the big bad faceless aliens doing more shit. Like, oh no, like, you know, alien invasion in season 5, like, would have been really just like, you're dealing with the fatigue. Right? Yeah. I think of like the Marvel movies again, it's an easy giant thing to punch. But, you know, I think of like, okay, we're getting more and more and more. Okay, we're going to destroy half of all life in the universe. And it's like, well, what do you do next? Like, what do I care about anything when you did that? And the ever-escalating odds, like, it's nice to take a break. And it's nice to actually make it mean something, too. And I think the setup, like, I have to admit, I was getting a little bored. Like, I was like, it's nice to take this break, but, like, at the same time, why are we doing this? We know there's other planets, other life. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And to end it the way they did the setup for the next season, I was like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, I am down for season 6. Because I got worried, because I was like, oh no, like, the show... So the history of the show kind of in the real world was that, I think it went through seasons, what, 1 through 3 on Sci-Fi?
Yeah.
And then Sci-Fi was like, we're done. And everyone was like, the fuck? Like, no, save the show. And Amazon was like, we got you, fam. And they were like, okay, we'll take it. So Amazon now produces this show. They've produced season 4 and season 5 now, and they're producing season 6. And I got worried, because I was like, oh no, are we going to cancel the show? Like, is season 5 the end? Like, we've achieved peace, we're all good. Now let's deal with a quick little deal of like infighting to wrap everything up, and then
kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya.
Oh no, we're going to keep going. Steady, at least one more, because there's going to be some big shit, I think, in season 6.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
So Amber, you know, standard out of 10, is for this season of The Expanse, like, what are you giving it a rating? And then would you suggest people watch this show, you know, from front to back here?
Yeah, I think I'd give it like a 9.5 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So this season landed a lot nicer for you than.
I mean, they're all really good. Yeah. So I can't think of like a season where I was just like, this really fucking sucks or something. Like, it actually progresses. They're just all different, like in their own way, as we've talked about. But yes, I would definitely recommend it to people to watch, because. Especially if they're into, you know, like Star Trek or any other like sci-fi TV shows, like, I would definitely say watch The Expanse.
Yeah, agreed. This show as a whole, like season 1, like starts as like this neo-noir detective story in space. And by season 5, it's like an interplanetary political space opera set in like a Cold War among the stars. Like, It has a steady escalation that I really appreciate and like, while it still keeps itself rooted. Like, the show doesn't go into, you know, I love Star Trek. Go check out our Star Trek episodes. We did a whole month on it back in December 2020. Check those out wherever you get your podcasts. I love Star Trek. It holds a special place in my heart. But there is, especially in TNG and shit, there is a hokey, our technology might as well be magic. Fuck it.
Amazing! This is just like magic!
A bit there. And that's why I like Enterprise so much, right? It's the same reason I like The Expanse, is because it's not that. Like, there's a limitation to what we can do. And this show keeps itself very rooted in reality amongst itself. Like, if they need a bullshit explanation, 9 times out of 10, the protomolecule's the thing. And 9 times out of 10, it's not a good one. So it's like, okay, let's keep going. But yeah, I would give this season was probably my least favorite. That being said, like, the show overall is like a solid like 9.5 out of 10 for me. Like, I'd almost want to give the show a 10 out of 10. With like, yeah. this season was a little, it dragged a little bit, but it's one of those things where it's like, during it, I was like, man, this isn't my favorite season. And then by the time like it ended, like everything came together so gracefully, I was like, this is great. Like, this is fucking wonderful. But yeah, I would totally suggest watching this show. If you like sci-fi even remotely, I would watch this show, like, yeah. If you can. It's a great television series. It doesn't skimp on the characters. It doesn't skimp on the action. If you like, especially if you like something like Firefly, like if you ever were like, I would like a more serious version of Firefly with more than one season, this is the show for you. yeah, it's very good. Totally check out The Expanse if you haven't. And if you have, you know, getting ready for season 6, we're going to be right there with you. That about wraps up The Expanse. Amber, can you tell us what we're going to be doing on the main feed for next week?
So for our main feed, we're going to be doing A Clockwork Orange, and we're going to have 2 special guests for that.
Yep. 2 special guests going to be coming in for our return to the Kubrickverse with A Clockwork Orange from 1971. Get ready. It's going to be a good episode, hopefully. You'll get to hear our thoughts about that. None of us have seen that. I think I tried to watch it once on a plane and got it maybe 5 minutes in and realized, oh boy, this is not a movie to watch on a plane. And then promptly closed my laptop and let it be. But more on that story and more on Clockwork Orange on our next episode. But until then, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this is So What Happens Next, Small Screens. See you guys next time.